The Moon and the Sea, written by Nimue the Sea Witch and read by Kay Burb. This is an Avatar The Last Airbender fic, rated general audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Sokka slash Zuko. Summary. When Zuko sees Sokka getting overwhelmed at the official Fire Nation festival celebrating the moon and ocean spirits, he sneaks him out to his favorite place to watch the waves. It was politically very smart for the Fire Lord to encourage the celebration of the spirits most important to the other nations and host capital city's own festivals alongside the embassies of each nation, but it didn't make this particular celebration any easier for Zuko. After fulfilling his ceremonial duties, all he wanted was to escape, but he was trapped in the little formalities of playing host. Zuko had nodded along as his ministers made conversation with the Northern Water Tribe guests about how important Pui and La were to their island nation and how it was wonderful to be celebrating them again, even though several of those ministers had objected fiercely in closed-doors meetings about celebrating any spirit other than Agni, and were only parroting what Zuko had argued to them time and time again. He had politely listened as an Earth Kingdom dignitary tried to tell him the story of the Fire Nation's invasion of the North and the resulting death of Pui and anger of La, as if Zuko hadn't been there himself. He was quickly running out of patience for this event when he saw that same Earth Kingdom dignitary, now much more obviously inebriated, clutching Sokka's arm and gesticulating wildly, completely unaware of his story's effect on the Southern Water Tribe ambassador. Zuko, on the other hand, instantly clocked how ghastly pale his friend had turned and the tense way Sokka was clutching to his drink.
"Lord Guan Yu," Zuko interrupted with the most diplomatic tone he could muster. "Could you please excuse us? Ambassador Sokka is needed elsewhere."
With a few other pleasantries and a strategically placed elbow, Zuko managed to extricate Sokka smoothly and pull him to the side of the room.
"Thank you, Zuko."
Zuko reached out to cup his elbow.
"I couldn't, in good conscience as a host, let that man continue to put his foot in his mouth. Are you all right?"
Sokka smiled weakly.
"What do you think?"
"I think that the Fire Lord and the Southern Water Tribe ambassador have sufficiently done their duty for tonight, and no one too important will notice if we leave the party." Sokka's relief was visible.
"Please, Zuko, get me out of here."
Zuko motioned to his aide and quietly explained that he was going to escort the ambassador away from the party, and with a skill born of experience, he waded into the fray to provide enough distraction that no one would try to catch the Fire Lord as he escaped. As Zuko pulled Sokka down a side corridor obscured by a curtain, Sokka laughed.
"You do this all the time, don't you?"
Zuko just raised an eyebrow in question. Sokka gestured to the hallway.
"Slip down secret passages to hide from parties?"
Zuko made a noise of objection.
"It's not a secret passage, Sokka. This is a perfectly respectable and public corridor."
At Sokka's skeptical look, he relented.
"That no one knows about except me and my personal staff. And the guards, of course."
"Wait a minute. Is this why you insist on hosting all these events, even when the embassies offer? So that you can have planned escape routes from awkward situations?" Zuko knew his face was flushing, but schooled his features and tried to maintain some dignity.
"Of course not. It's entirely for security. The guards feel much more comfortable when I'm in the palace."
Sokka's delight was evident.
"Sure. It's all for the guard's sense of well-being. Mister fights off all his own assassins and abandons his guards to go running around on rooftops."
"Speaking of which," Zuko smirked at Sokka's expression as he pushed open a door to reveal that the passageway led directly to the back of his own dressing room. The door on that side was hidden behind a rack of dark, inconspicuous clothing that Zuko regularly wore to run around on rooftops. These days, he and Sokka were almost the same size, so Sokka was easily able to borrow a set of clothing before Zuko led him carefully out of the palace, through the caldera, and down to the rooftops of the harbor. With practiced ease, he swung up to one of his favorite perches and reached down to help Sokka up next to him.
"Why here?"
Zuko turned his eyes to the view in front of them. This would be easier to say while watching the ocean and the ever-restless docks than while facing Sokka. Did you know I spent 3 years at sea? Sokka made a surprised noise, but Zuko continued. After the Agni Kai, Uncle scrounged up a ship that should have been retired, and a crew who are one step away from being drummed out of the Navy, all while I was still unconscious. We were out of Fire Nation waters by the time my fever broke. I woke up on that ship, and it was the closest thing I had to a home for the next 3 years. He let that information settle for a moment. He could tell Sokka wanted to ask more, but he was grateful that he didn't. Zuko wasn't sure he'd be able to tell him if he actually voiced the question. I didn't appreciate my crew enough. I was too wrapped up in my anger and my quest. They kept that rust bucket running and crossed the world's oceans twice over searching for a myth. They put up with my moods and my temper, and they helped me train. I'm not sure I ever actually earned their respect, but they treated me with more respect than I deserved anyway. And then Zhao took everything from me. He took over my quest for the Avatar, commandeered my crew for the Northern Invasion, and hired pirates to blow up my ship, everything I had left. He threw away the lives of a crew who deserved so much more than I ever gave them. They died that night because of Zhao's actions, because he took them from me out of spite. And I was so blinded by my need to capture Aang that I failed to protect them. Zuko wasn't sure what response he'd expected from Sokka, but it wasn't for him to silently reach out and hold his hand. After a comforting squeeze, they both just looked out at where the full moon was reflected on the waters of the sea and let the sounds of the docks wash over them. Still looking at the moon, Sokka broke the silence. I think you would have liked you, and you would have liked her. She was beautiful and smart and kind, and she cared about her people so, so much. She was a lot like you. Sokka silently thanked you for the brightness of the moonlight because he got to see the journey Zuko's face went on as he processed his words, and the blush on his cheeks when Zuko remembered Sokka had said, beautiful. I'm not. You are. Squeezed Zuko's hand and pulled it into his lap. It was easier to focus on playing with his fingers than to look at him in the eyes as he continued. You care so much, Zuko. You care enough that you remember them all and think about them when you smell the ocean air. You give so much of yourself for your nation and for your friends, for me. Sokka took a breath and looked up at him. You noticed from across the room that I was struggling and you whisked me away to the rooftops and opened up your own wounds to soothe mine. And you're brilliant and beautiful, just like she was. But I'm not. Zuko made a frustrated noise and gestured at his own face. Just look at me. Sokka did his best to let his feelings show as he looked. He let the heat that he usually did his best to smother catch fire, fueled by the words he finally had the courage to say. I'm looking, Zuko, and I have been for a while. I wish you could see what I see. When it looked like Zuko was going to protest again, Sokka raised his hand to cup his cheek and leaned forward. Before completely closing the gap, he asked, is this okay? And at Zuko's shocked nod, Sokka pressed his lips to his. The end.